Busy city life makes it hard to think about and work at integrating our faith with our lives. Welcome to the Cathedral Podcast, produced and hosted by Jenny Ho Huan. Each episode, we want to help you relate core Christian truths to your daily life. Whether it's science, philosophy, cultural trends, or life stories, we bring you authentic and unrehearsed conversations to spark insight and strengthen your faith and your life.
This is Jenny. This time, I am having a conversation with three friends, Gerald and Anne Peng, from Family Inclusion Network and also founder of Soul Food, as well as Jasmine Goh, who is a freelance writer and author of My Unique Child. Jasmine, why don't we start with you? Tell us why you wrote this book, My Unique Child.
Well, when I was volunteering with the Autism Ministry in St. Andrew's Cathedral, I started looking around for more resources on special needs and specifically on autism. And what I found was that although there were many resources from overseas, especially from America, from Europe, there were very little that I could find in Singapore, very little with a local context for local families. And Asian families, we raise our children differently from the West, right?
Yeah, that's so true.
And I felt very strongly that we needed something for the local families. And that was one of the main reasons for this book.
Right. Tell us briefly what we can find in the book.
So this book is designed to be very practical. It's organized according to age groups, from children when they first got their diagnosis, to adolescence, and then to adulthood. So we cover the practical issues that parents will come across in these different stages of life. And at the end of the day, however, I strongly believe that our hope, whether special needs or not, our hope is found only in Christ. And this book, although a large chunk of it contains a lot of practical tips and wisdom, the end point is still our hope in God. And that's how I ended the book.
Lovely. Wow. So this sounds like a great book for parents and people who are related, caregivers and Sunday school teachers and all that.
Yes,
and honestly, I think it's something that we should be widely read because, you know, God has called us to really love children. He's put them in our midst as a sign of the kingdom. Mm. And there's just so much about children we need to really come to appreciate and understand. So I'm going to jump over now to Anne, because you co-edited another book, which is called Call Me By Name. Now, that's a very interesting title. It sounds like an appeal, the title, Call Me By Name. Tell me, what's the core message of that book?
First, Call Me By Name is really a collection of 23 real stories of persons with special needs, their families, and also those who have found their calling in the social service sector. It is our hope that these heartfelt stories of their journey, often filled with huge, unsurmountable challenges, and how they overcome through faith, rooted in knowing their identity in God, will inspire and encourage those who are struggling in their own journey.
Mm.
And through these voices, we also see and hear the heart of God for those with special needs, the disabled, and even those who are socially excluded. So may we, as you would call, appeal, as one body of Christ, be deeply moved and put love into action.
Mm. Thank you for that. Yeah, it's so important that you're contributing to this very large conversation, really, because the Christian faith talks about the good news, that God loves us and that God died on the cross for us. And sometimes our definition of us is very narrow to just myself and the people I know, the people I'm familiar with. But God made a huge spectrum of humanity.
Yeah.
And we are grasping to know, and in our society in Singapore especially, now it's coming to light that spectrum is very wide and very diverse. You know, so when we talk about special needs kids, we're talking about differently abled kids,
right?
Yeah, from autism spectrum to learning differences, and all that. Share some of your personal experiences in journeying with these children. that has been particularly memorable for you and maybe, you know, helped you to touch the love of God in a very different or fresh way?
I would say they're all very individual stories, because if you met one, you've just really just met one. You know. A child with autism is maybe so different from a child with, say, Down syndrome or an intellectual, you know, challenged child. Mm. So actually, at the end of the day, we just befriend them and just reach out to them in love. Mm. We may not even have all the tools or the skills, and really it's just really about reaching out to them and loving them and accepting them as who they are.
Yeah, that's a very powerful point. You know, sometimes in our society, we are so good at labelling and then putting people in boxes, right?
Right.
Like we can say all the kids who did go to elite schools or and so on and so forth. But I'm hearing you say that ultimately it's like almost like these kids are reminding us that every single individual is just a unique creation of God.
Right.
And you can't say, okay, you have autism, so you know, we expect to behave this way and all that. It's like it's their individual personality and uniqueness just comes to, and you are taking time to notice that.
But it's, as in all of us, God says we are all unique beings.
Mm.
So they're no different. Really, if you think it's different and yet the same.
Yeah, yes. We have a common humanity and yet there's that individual distinctiveness. Yeah, that's a really precious thing, because it's so easy for us to forget that in our busy, very, very busy, very frenzied lifestyle here. Yeah. Gerald, tell us a bit about your work at Soul Food. You started that, what, 11 years ago?
Yes, I did.
It's a nice restaurant. I apologize, I haven't been there. I'm looking forward to go there.
Yeah, you must come back for lunch.
I will.
Yeah, yes. Well, I started this, like you said, 11 years ago. And it was really out of my own, Anne and I, our personal aspiration for our daughter, who's differently abled.
Mm.
Not just to be skilled in a vocation, but also it's a platform for her, no doubt, but it's also to find community as well.
Mm.
As you know that, if you think about it, that was what, 11 years ago, or even when I started thinking about what sort of work that Cheryl, our daughter, would eventually get involved in. It must have been more than 11 years ago, you know, because during those times,
27 now. Yeah,
yeah, she's turning 27 in November.
Mm.
So many years ago, we were already thinking, okay, so what's for her? What are the possibilities? And those times are where the SPED school environment is less developed, if I may say so. And so thinking of something to get her onto some sort of a vocational track would always be something that would be on our minds as she was growing up.
Mm.
And so in the course of it, obviously, we started to think, okay, well, no, let's not focus on the academics. Let's not just focus on whether she loves to sing or love to dance or whatever, although she loves to sing, you know.
Mm.
I still remember a therapist saying, well, she can't sing her way through life. You can sing. Singing is a good thing. Singing is a de-stressor. Singing is a nice preoccupation, I would say, you know. So she serves in a choir. So actually it is useful. she serves in the church choir.
Yeah. And, but it's a different story if you're a professional singer.
That's right, yeah. So when she was growing up, you know, she would poke her head into the kitchen and watch me cook, because I'm the cook of the house.
Nice.
Yeah. I try. So I enjoy cooking. Cooking for me is a de-stressor. I can work 15 hours a day and then come back and cook for the next 2-3 hours. Yeah, yeah.
Lucky thing, Anne. You don't ever have to, you know, worry about sweating it out in the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what she said. She was key. So all this poking into her head into the kitchen, I just called her and said, hey, come on, let's stir a few soups and see where it goes. And then discovered that she has this
Like an inclination?
Inclination, this interest in cooking and the involvement in it. So we say, hey, maybe that might. So Anne and I started to talk about the possibility of setting something up. We don't have that training. We don't have that.
You two are so brave.
Background.
It totally shows the things that parents will do for their children, right? Just go out and get all the resources you can, and especially if your children are not mainstream. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just no roadmap for you, and you just have to hack your way through and find a trail. So, you know, it's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how it all began. And
now you have a team at Soul Food. Like you have
it's still a journey, even though it's been 11 years, we are still learning of how to run this business.
Yeah. And I think it's very different. I would just imagine, like, for your restaurant, it won't be like you put up an ad and then you hire and fire like other restaurants. Tell us a little bit about how the mechanics of running a restaurant like that is. In order to give a vocation as well as a community to these kids.
Well, firstly, maybe I the mission of Soul Food really is to equip, employ, and empower persons with different abilities.
Yeah.
And from that premise, you know that basically we are a social enterprise business. Yeah. We actually scale according to the ability to produce. Yeah. Now, that is not how a typical business would want to look at it, because we need to generate enough business to keep going and survive and be sustainable and all that. So yeah, no doubt that is quite clear. You have to generate enough business to keep afloat. No doubt it has a cause. Our main workforce are young persons with different abilities.
Neuroatypical. Mm-hmm.
But it's still a food business. So if your food is poor, people may come once, patronize you for once, show support, and then may not come back again and go somewhere else. So it has to have a decent product, if I put it this way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have to train our young people to produce
and
that
you
product.
Have been at it for 11 years. Obviously, you have decent products.
We don't have a huge repertoire of products, but over the years, yes, we built it up. We could fit a simple menu, a la carte menu, but simple a la carte menu, but we chose not to do it that way.
Mm.
So the way that we sell our product is, instead of having an a la carte menu, we just basically would do a set menu. So there's control, and give them the time, the space, the training, the exposure, the experience, and the community, most importantly, to be able to have some mastery over the different aspects of preparation and service.
Yeah, that's great.
Which is dynamic, you know. Each day we have our challenges. Each day we have our UN conferences, you know, negotiating with them, and they ask me, why do I have to do bread something like that.
Well, that's very much like a typical workforce in some ways. People just ask questions, and you have to motivate them, and so on.
It's a different challenge.
But yet you have some very unique challenges because they are neuroatypical, and I think most people don't understand how challenging it is for some of these kids to do what seems to us like very straightforward tasks.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, Jasmine, and you want to share some of your experiences with these kids just to help our listeners understand that it's not like these kids are trying to be difficult or they are rebellious or whatever. It's a genuine difficulty they have with some of these things that many of us take for granted. Mm. Yeah.
I would maybe talk more about their ability to understand what is not said sometimes.
Oh,
so,
that's interesting. Mm.
In a lot of our conversation and communication, there is a lot of non-verbal cues that we give out, which we can catch on very quickly. And most of us take this for granted.
Mm.
We just assume that anybody who sees these non-verbal cues will automatically understand and interpret them correctly and accurately to respond in an appropriate manner,
right,
as well.
The social cues. Yes.
But for, especially for autism, many of these individuals, they have that difficulty in capturing and interpreting them correctly. So it results in a situation where we don't understand why they don't understand.
Right.
Mm. And they don't understand why we don't understand them as well. So
so there's this mutual frustration. Yes. That needs a lot of patience then to...
Correct.
Yeah.
And if we really think about it, actually, all it requires is for us to just slow down and try to think about what is it that they do not understand or what is it that they had maybe missed in our nonverbal communication methods. Because, you know, a flick of a hand, a sideways glance, all say something, but this may be missed for these individuals. So if we just slow down, you know, on our part, we take that time to really just think about, oh, was it something that I didn't say that created this miscommunication? Mm. I think that is my main message to many people, to really just think about the way we communicate, that sometimes it's not about them, but because we ourselves use so many of these non-verbal cues that we are not even aware of, that we take for granted people will understand. Mm.
So will it help then if when we are engaging or interacting with them that we actually become more mindful and become more intentional about what we're saying, pay attention to what we're saying, and not go so fast?
Yes.
Am I getting it right?
Yes, correct.
And actually, that's so needful in our society because, you know, honestly, there's so much miscommunication going on all the time in the world because we are in such a hurry.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, even just between us, there can be miscommunication.
In Singapore.
It's like they are training us to be better communicators.
Yeah, in Singapore, we are all present. Rushing. We are all rushing from place to place. We are all talking so quickly. Yeah, and sometimes it makes communication very difficult. Mm.
Yes, I would say... For us, I would say that humbly, the success working with our team, they're all special in their own ways, differently abled. But I think we have built over the years trust, relationship, and time is super important. Like Gerald said, give them time. Jasmine said the same thing. Give them time. Allow them time to respond to you. Because very often... We find that even a casual hello, we won't wait for them to respond to you in most times, and we just move on. So our team of young people actually grew up with us because we knew them, most of them, I would say, from they were teenagers and they are my daughter's friends, and we built relationship. We started on a social setting. We hang out, we go out together, we play together, we cook together, we bake together, do things together. And so I think the trust was there. And so when we begin training them, they don't feel intimidated. They don't feel that we're driving them. They trust us to support and help them genuinely. So that, and they reciprocate. So I would say, yes, I think that's very important, the relationship, which very often businesses cannot afford the time or the space or even, you know, any, you know, at all, even opportunities to socialize, you know. And also because the advantage is most of them are with different needs, they feel comfortable with each other. The advantage, or rather the success too, of in this setting of inclusion of people with different needs is that you find someone with autism who may not want to speak to people. He's happy just to do one task and face the wall, for that matter, do his bread. But you find someone with Down syndrome who's very friendly and loves to chat. So in some ways, they are cornered, they're put in a position where the ones who want to talk will talk, and then in over time, because they trust each other, they have a friendship, they will interact with each other. So that's the beauty we see
in our
team.
That's wonderful. It almost sounds like some of us would like to work on a team like that.
Yes, you can volunteer with us.
The typical workforce just doesn't give you that kind of time, and, you know, just appreciate your humanity. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And for you then, how does all this relate to God's love for us? You know, and you know, even in your own journey, I'm sure it's not been an easy journey working with the kids or raising your own child and running a social enterprise. What is it that you return to again and again that helps you to keep going? What has helped, and how does that relate to God's love for all of us?
Actually, the kids love us, and that's where we see God's love. We really see God's love through them. They are so wholesome. Even when we reprimand them, they make mistakes. They are forgiving. They're most forgiving. Yes. No politics. They're just happy to do the work. And I would say that they work harder than any typical developing people.
Wow.
Yeah. They put in a lot more. That's my take.
I'm constantly reminded of something that was said to me by a pastor from overseas, and he said that he's also a father of a person with special needs, and he said that theirs is a journey to be understood, not a problem to be solved. I remind myself that, yeah, I'm running a business. I need to get things on time. I need to produce things, and I know we can't let the ball drop too many times. But at the same time, I have to remind myself that working with them is not a problem to be solved, or having to manage or deal with them is not it's not just to solve problems in the business. And that's why sometimes these young people who are working, working age and getting into work, they get into situations like this because productivity lah, you know, KPIs, to the point that they sometimes just don't meet the mark.
Yeah,
they can start off well, but over a period of time, they kind of like,
there's not enough support for them.
And struggle through it, and eventually they kind of like, they join.
They really struggle.
They join the wrestler who leave the workforce, and we've heard of stories like this before, and sometimes very sad, but in where SoFood is concerned, and I will humbly just say that, yeah, it's something that we learn. We learn from them as much as we try and coach them, as much as we try and work with them. It's about not just helping them. It's actually including them into that whole space, that whole business and environment. Like what I said, and yeah, we pitch the business to their abilities, to where they are, because
you want to give them a chance to thrive and to shine.
Yeah. Because otherwise, we will leave them behind.
Yeah,
we would leave them behind.
Yeah, which is what typically is done.
Do the soup, I'll sell the soup. If they can't do the soup, maybe I'll do it once in a while for a private dining, but it wouldn't be a regular feature. So again, that's why we don't have a huge a la carte. We don't do an a la carte menu. We always get that question.
I've noticed that in the other restaurants.
Hey, what's your menu? Check it out on Facebook.
Set menu.
Five set menus. That's it.
But you see, exactly, you know, we can see this in two ways. We can see this as, they have limited abilities, or we can see this as we are calling forth their abilities and giving them a chance to shine at where they are good at. And it's an ongoing journey. I mean, it doesn't mean that the soup they can cook at 23. At 24, they may do something completely different.
Yeah.
You know? So they are also growing.
Yeah.
And you are creating a safe space for them to be loved, for them to be nurtured and to have community. All the stuff that we human beings need, you know? Yeah. Exactly. That's amazing.
Yeah. And it's where Gerald, I would borrow Gerald's title in my book, Chapter 19. It says to find the stars in them. Yeah. Because if we identify, in fact, we identify the strengths of each one of them. If their strength is in front of house, then they betray in front of house. If they are better off cooking, or they prefer to be a more quiet, private environment rather than being being too vulnerable, open to too many people out there. We respect that too. Yeah. But having said that, we would challenge them. Once in a while, we would bring them out.
It's that whole discipleship journey of like, you're here, but can grow a little bit at a time and grow a little bit at a time.
That's true. Marvelous. That's very true. Yeah.
Jasmine?
Well, I think I would draw on Gerald's point about learning from them. I think my own personal journey has really been just a lot of learning. I came into the special needs community, you know, with zero knowledge. I was just an undergrad in university when I first started volunteering. Mm. And I think in this past 10 years, I've just learned so much. And I would say that is God's love for me to be able to see this side of society. And in a way, to use what He has given to me, my gifts and talents, to serve this community in such a manner, in writing, in collecting stories, in doing interviews, in my job as a writer, that's what I do. And I would say I'm just privileged that God will use these gifts and talents to serve this special needs community.
Mm. Thank you for saying that. You know, as Christians, we believe that every life is precious. And we always say that children are a blessing. And when we say that, we mean every single child. And it's up to us to mind that blessing. So I really appreciate what you're sharing, Jasmine, to have that very open heart and to really feel that this is God's love for me, giving me an opportunity to be a part of this community and finding a way to use my gifts to build up this community. And for the both of you, Gerald and Anne, as parents and parents who love your child, and then in your resourcefulness, you widen and open your hearts up to other children, supporting other parents. And then, of course, now with the Family Inclusion Network, that's doing marvelous things, not only for these families, but really for all families in Singapore, because we all need to learn that God's love is so amazing and so marvelous. Mm-hmm. And it's broader, as the old hymn says, vaster far than any ocean, deeper than the deeper seas. And I think there's so much for us to a taste of the love of God mm-hmm. from very unexpected sources, like our special children. Thank you so much for coming and talking with us. God bless you.
Thank you for listening in. We hope you've been encouraged with some new thoughts on faith and life integration. You can find us on the Cathedral app, iTunes, Spotify, or at cathedral.org.sg/podcast. Be sure to join us again.